Well, without further ado, let's make a great, great loud welcome for Pastor Craig.
Well, good morning, church. I hope you are well if you are visiting this house this morning. We love you and we love Jesus, and we hope you have already experienced that this morning. Why don't we pray before we get into the message? Father God, I just pray that my words would be from you today, Lord God. I pray that every eye, every ear, every mind would be attentive to your word. Father, that we'd be sowing seed this morning that would just sit so deeply into the hearts and minds of your people. Father, that we would be a people that are all in this morning, Father, for you. We want to see you do a great and mighty thing in this place. So, Father, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. So, some of us have been at Victory Life Conference in midweek, have we not? Oh, look, here we go. All right, so I know some of you have had a good time there. Thank you, Jared. You know what, it's been an enjoyable week at conference, but it's also been challenging. And this message this morning reflects some of the themes that we've come across in midweek. And I hope they challenge each of us. They've been challenging me. You see, I'm a firm believer in putting your yes and your amen and your nodding. And I've already seen a lot of it this morning too. I saw a load of it at conference, you know, like people get loose at Victory Life Conference. Like they don't just, oh, amen. They're like screaming, amen. Like it freaks me out. I'm not even going to lie to you. I've been there a few times now, a few conferences, still scares me. But I like it. I like the enthusiasm. But it comes with a challenge. When we hear the word of God, it's not meant to be an ear tickler. We got to put some action on our yes, some action on our amen, some action on our head nodding. So I want to give you like a real quick synopsis, a real like digest version of some of the messages, some of the themes that I heard at conference this week, and they resonated with me. So, and that's a bit of a precursor into where we're going to land today. My message is called Fast Forward because I believe the Lord wants to propel us as a church forward this morning. So the first snippet I got for you is from Matthew 17, 20. All my examples are at the NIV version of the Bible. And it says, when Jesus healed the demon-possessed boy, the boy was brought to him because the disciples couldn't heal him. And then the disciples said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? And he replied, Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Love that. You see, just a little bit of faith, Jesus is saying, can move the biggest obstacle. It can move the biggest sickness. It can move the biggest circumstance. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Snippet 2 is from Matthew 3:11. And it's when Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. John says this, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting to him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You see, even Jesus submitted to the word of the Father. He submitted in order to fulfill the word of John's prophecy. You see, Jesus' submission validated John the Baptist. Jesus publicly was aligning with him and aligning with the Father. Even in baptism, Jesus, a sinless man, showed us the way to publicly align with the Father. And this is still what we do here today, even in this house of God, right here at Hillside. Jesus showed submission to God is important, and he proved it to be so over and over and over. Not my will, but yours be done. The third snippet is from Luke 5. When Jesus called his first disciples, you see, he starts to preach on this boat that's just gone off from the shore. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You see, while Peter, he was coming to terms, as a fisherman, he'd had a failed night at sea. But for Jesus wasn't concerned about what Simon Peter didn't catch. Jesus was only interested in his obedience. And because the word of God does not return void, just look at what the result of Simon Peter's obedience to God looked like. An incredible outcome of abundance. So big it nearly caused a problem in itself. Abundance so big that your boat starts to sink. Abundance so big that your boat starts to sink. That's normal, right? Cool. Great. Glad we're real matter of fact about that. My next line was, does that sound exciting to you? Thank you for that. I heard the no as well over there. Appreciate that one. Moving mountains, being reborn in baptism and called by name by God, receiving the abundance so great that your boat starts to sink. Do you want that? Oh, it sounds so good, doesn't it? Oh, we're not in Victory Life no more, so we can't be all like hyper excited anymore, can we? Wow. Get ready, church. It don't get any like softer. You see, I've seen all week the excitement of the result. I want the abundance. Come pick me for the abundance. I'm in. I've heard preachers all week preach about the blessing of the Lord. I've seen people get out of their seats like, yeah, pick me. See, it sounds nice. And it is nice. But you see, those things don't just arrive at our feet. They all arrive out of an exercising of our faith. You see, it's the exercising of our yes and amen. The exercising of our commitment to transformation in Jesus' name. You see, the disciples, they were asked for their faith. John the Baptist was asked to prepare the way. Simon Peter was asked to throw down your net, be obedient. You see, not one of them was forced to, but God had spoken and they listened. Not one of them knew what the result was going to be. See, that's where we flip it on its head all the time, because we already know the result and we go chasing for it. These guys didn't know what was ahead. So their motivation was not the result, church. Their motivation was that they had seen Christ. They had seen the Lord. They'd had an encounter. And it didn't matter what the result was going to be. That was merely byproduct. They listened. They joined the race. They joined the call of God. And they all ran towards the goal that Christ had called them to, just as Paul writes in Philippians 3:14. They didn't sit on their hands. They didn't say, oh, I've met with the Lord and that's good enough for me. They exercised their faith in order to move forward with the Lord. Hear me on this, church. I want to be clear. You see, these examples are not about earning favor with God. You see, once we turn to Jesus and his ways, we're loved by him and he calls us sons and daughters. That is not in question. Let me clarify also about the abundance. You know, I mentioned that abundance of the fish coming into the boat. It sounds so good. But I'm not teaching you this morning how to get the stuff. I want to be clear on this, particularly for those that were at the conference. The abundance, the big money, the TV studio, the fancy material stuff. This morning is not about the stuff. It's not about the material, worldly byproduct that may or may not result from a more intimate walk with Jesus. It's about intimacy. It's about moving forward, going further with the Lord and in his spirit. That's my purpose, okay? We clear? This morning I'm preaching about seeing a great and mighty move of God because of his people at Hillside developing a closer walk with him. You see, this morning for Hillside Church, for all of us with ears to hear, God's cry is for his people to commit to transformation, commit to submission to the Lord, commit to obedience with the Lord. So what's new, Craig? I see some of you. I've been there, I've done that. You preach that, Craig. When are you going to get a new message, man? Okay. You know, I've been reflecting on this thought for our church. You know, what does submission to the Lord look like for Hillside Church? What does obedience to the Lord look like for Hillside Church? See, I'm concerned and I'm excited in equal measure. Because, yes, for over 70 years now that this church has been in existence, my goodness, it's seen some incredible things. Has it been obedient and has it submitted itself before the Lord? Of course. Of course. There can be no doubt. Look at this place. This is the house that Jesus built. But today, I believe the message from the Lord is, I want to do it again. I want to show you more. I want to take you into realms that you've never experienced before. You see, I'm tired of hearing about that revival 30 years ago. Because I was 8. And that could have been happening right in front of me and I wouldn't have given a rat's. And I love that you experienced it. And I love that you want that time to come back again. But I'm sorry, we're not going to replicate what happened 30 years ago. I don't believe God just throws out repeats because someone felt it was a nice time. For so many of us, and I'm 38 years old now, and I've been in our church here at Hillside something like 15 to 18 years. And I hear these stories about the good old days. And I love that they happened. But God wants something more. Even for you that experienced the good old days, guess what? There's a better day. God has it for our church. For the future of our church, there's a better day than you've already experienced. I want to take you into realms that you've never experienced before. That's not the same. That's transformation. So I want to share with you a well-used scripture in our church. And I'm getting to the wrap-up here, church. And for those of you that play board games, my close is an all-play scenario. What that means is that everyone plays in the scenario at the end of this message. So it's not closed out. I know we started with like, young people, come forward. We're going to pray for them. That needed to happen. You didn't get away with it, all you guys that sat in your seats. You didn't get away with it. I'm not done yet. We got all play to come, okay? So, it's from the Lord's encounter with Solomon in 2 Chronicles. He said to him, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Those of you that have been at Hillside for some time will know this particular scripture so well, as we are continually drawn back to it time and time again. I don't know how many times 2 Chronicles 7 comes back. I don't know about you, but I tend not to dwell in 2 Chronicles as a book. We keep being drawn back to it, church. And it was a verse used very briefly at the conference, but I believe it represents a key for our church yet again today. I want to place specific importance on that first line this morning. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You see, we're a prayerful crew here at Hillside. I look around this room, I see people that pray. You inspire me, some of you, with your prayer lives. Honestly, where's Al? Al getting up at a time of morning that I don't even know exists every day, praying it up. I respect you, the prayer warriors in this place. We're a prayerful group here at Hillside. You see, we have daily prayer meetings. We have multiple gatherings in connect groups and ministry groups that pray regularly. Prayer precedes everything we do. You see it in our church services. At 9 o'clock, we're in the back room praying before we start on a Sunday. You're all welcome to join us, by the way. But when we look at this single line of scripture, prayer is only half of what the Lord is asking us for. You see, this line of scripture asks the people of God to humble themselves also. And this is the key for this morning's message here at Hillside. For us to be a people that humbles ourselves before God. I'm asking this morning that we as a people of God, all of us, would be led into a time of prayer and humbling. In fact, there's a very specific action of humbling that I believe we're called to at Hillside. It's a time of fasting. I believe it's a time of prayer and fasting. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this term, fasting means to go without. It means to go without, and it's commonly used in the Bible as a term for going without food. It's commonly used. It's not the only way it's used, but it's commonly used around going without food, fasting from food. There are many examples of fasting in the Bible. And each time, it was an action of the people of God, not a requirement. Understand me here. It's not a requirement. But because of their relationship with the Lord. And I believe that this is the place that the Lord is drawing us back to. At Hillside once again. You know, I should also state, because I got to throw some of this stuff in. You know, I'm not attempting to force your hand. You know, I'm not saying this is a command from God to you. This is 100%. For you to decide. This is 100% your choice. So I'm appealing to you this morning. Not as a command. As an appeal. As a voluntary action. By the people of God. You know, I need to say this. If this will affect your health. Or if you have a pre-existing condition. Preventing you from fasting food. Then please be wise. And, you know, consult a doctor if you need to. Before you try to do anything like this. I should add, it's important that we understand that this is a cry out for us to walk more intimately with the Lord. You know, this is not a dieting program. This is not a weight loss management program. See, there's another JC for that. I appreciate you, Ames. I appreciate you. Whew. So I thought that might break it for you because I was getting real intense. I was mentioning Jenny Craig, not Jesus Christ, okay? Sorry. You see, there's plenty of information. There's plenty of information online and in books around fasting, around Christian fasting, okay? You know, Jensen Franklin is just one preacher that's paid particular focus in this area. You know, if you're looking for more information on the practicalities, I highly recommend you check out some of Jensen Franklin's preaching and teaching around the area of fasting, prayer and fasting. Some of his teaching is excellent on prayer and fasting. But, you know, I don't want to get too bogged down in the do's and don'ts around the practicalities of fasting, because I found through experience, the more do's and don'ts that I give people, the more reason it is to, oh, no, oh, I'm going to get a headache. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, no, I can't handle that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to give you do's and don'ts. I want to give you reasons to cop it out. If you're freaking out that fasting might be hard, I'm with you. Does this body look like it fasts? Just at will. I got to try hard. I got to put effort in. I got to exercise my faith if I want to fast. You see, with fasting, you can't neglect the other side of the equation. You got to pray. Whatever you may be doing when you fast, you got to pray. If you be working when you're fasting, pray while you work. If you're resting while you're fasting, pray while you rest. As you meet with one another, maybe, pray with one another. Encourage one another as you meet. So with all that said, some of you, I'm sure, are freaking out. Because if you've read the Bible about fasting, you'll know that 21 days and 40 days are really commonly used. Are you calling me to fast for 21 days, Craig? Are you calling me to fast for 40 days? You know what? I believe for our church, for this time, something is better than nothing. And I believe if we want to do this in an all-in way, we need to start somewhere. So I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you. Will you humble yourself voluntarily through the act of prayer and fasting for one day this week, and for a very specific purpose? For seeing the Spirit of God move at Hillside in a way so strong, so bold, and so unique, unlike anything you or I has ever seen before. I'm asking us all to unite for the future generations of our church. For the kids, for the youth, for the young adults, for the unsaved, for our community, I'm asking you, the body of Christ at Hillside, to unite in this house of the Lord to see something beyond our wildest dreams. An action of faith, an action of humbling, an action that sows seed into the future of this house, of this community. You see, the Bible is filled with many acts of fasting. And most famously, Jesus walked out into the wilderness in Matthew 4:1. It says the Spirit led him out into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It says he was tempted by the devil. But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live by the word of God. And I think we can do it. And I believe the Spirit has led us to this time. You know, we sing it so often in this house. Christ is enough for me. Well, hey, will you join me? Will you join the pastoral team in putting some exercise on that faith, some exercise on that statement? Just as the Spirit led Jesus, it's leading Hillside to that place of intimacy again. Can I get the worship team, please? See, as I finish, I want to bring another example of the principle of prayer and fasting in the book of Judges. This might be an unfamiliar story of fasting, because in the book of Judges, there's a brutal story, and fasting is just within that story. It's right near the end of the book of Judges. And those of you that know the book of Judges will know that it's filled with many opportunities that are spurned by the leaders, the judges in the land. Many of the judges through history make mistakes. They spurn their opportunities. There are many failures in this book. And in Judges 19, there's a story of a Levite man and his concubine. And this concubine, a woman from Bethlehem, she suffers awfully, awfully at the hands of the men from the tribe of Benjamin. And she was killed as a result. You know, upon news of that terrible fate, the other tribes of Israel, they bandied together and they inquired of the Lord as to what they should do. They were told to go into battle against the tribe of Benjamin. And you can find this in Judges 20. You see, the Israelites, they had inquired of the Lord, so they went into the battle on the first day. And they suffered 22,000 losses to the tribe of Benjamin. So they inquired of the Lord again on the second day, and he said, go, battle. And they went in on the second day, and they suffered a further 18,000 losses to the tribe of Benjamin. And in Judges 20:26, it says, then all the Israelites, the whole army, went to Bethel. And there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening. All of them went. The whole army went and they fasted. It's a powerful action of humility before the Lord. And on that third day, they rose up. It sounds familiar. And by nightfall, they were victorious in overcoming the Benjamin army. You see, church, if you think you've heard this message once or twice before, you probably have. And I believe we've been up the mountain at least once or twice now. And we've prayed, Lord, we want to see you do a new thing. I'm almost embarrassed to mention it. But he won't let it go. And he speaks to a chorus of the people of God. He says, I still want to do it. And we haven't seen it yet. So why don't we go up? Why don't we go up? Will you come up? I'm not forcing you. Will you come up, church? Can we all, the whole army, come up this week and fast and pray for just one day and humble ourselves and see if our God doesn't do a great and mighty thing? You see, I'm taking this away from the personal benefits, because we've all got personal things. Oh, I could fast for that. I could fast for this situation. I could fast for that in my life. Maybe this is just a start point for you. Maybe that's to come. Maybe that would be day two of your fast. But I'm saying for one day, it's not even about me. It's not even about you. It's about the Holy Spirit rising up in a community of believers in this house of God and seeing such a great move that we've never seen before. You know what I want to see? I want to see Pastor Fred go, hey, I ain't seen that yet. I ain't seen that. You know, if we get to that place, whoo, he's seen a lot of things. The Lord can do it again. He can do it again in a fresh and new way. So church, hear me. It's not about three or four of us with a nice idea coming together on behalf of all of us. It's about the whole body. It's about an all-in scenario. And remember, I'm not forcing you. But there is great power in the majority, in an en masse act of humility. Can we go up to Bethel? Can we fast? Can we pray? Because this faith action has the potential to take Hillside into a new dimension, a new place of dwelling with the Lord, a fresh anointing. I believe He's shown me the yoke breaking. He's shown me it. He's shown me it. He wants it to break in this place. Not saying it's never broken before. He wants to break it again. So I'm not demanding this of you. I'm appealing to you that we band together this week to fast as a house of God. There are no rules. There's no extra meeting. No one's going to be forcing this upon you or checking up if you did it right. But I want to encourage you to group together, be it your connect group, join with a friend, encourage one another. Do it on your own if that's a better scenario for you. There's no program for this one. There's no three steps with this one. There's no prayer meeting at 5 o'clock for everyone to be at. This is on us. This is who we are. This is just an act of service, an act of humility before God. This is just the actions of a truly hungry and thirsty people of God. Hungry and thirsty to see a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. We've sung. We've seen you move. And we've sung, I want to see you do it again. This is where the rubber hits the road for us, church. This is where we exercise our faith. I ain't checking up on you. Pastor Kerry ain't checking up on you. I'm praying the Holy Spirit had prepared you for this message already. I'm praying that there's something inside each of you that goes, yeah, I'll do that. To see generation after generation after generation find Jesus in this place, in this house, for His Spirit to move so greatly, so mightily in this house. There'd be an infectious thing, you know. I see the hails going up on the land that we didn't get. By the way, He's got other land for us. You know that? There are more people coming into Forest Field. I believe that God has made it so. And those people, if they come, there ain't enough seats in this place. I want them to know that there's a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in this house of God that was sown into by people that they don't know, that they've never met. I'm talking about legacy this morning, church. So as we close and as we sing, honestly, I believe the Lord, if you're in, just stand up now, because you ain't done nothing. We haven't fasted, we haven't done nothing. So this is not for people to look around and go, oh wow, how holy we all are. This is a pledge. This is just a pledge. Because, you know, the Bible speaks about doing the hard yards in secret. So this is not the hard yards. This is not the hard yards. I thank you, church. I thank you. I look around this room. Pastor Kerry, look around this room, man. We're going up the mountain. We're going up the mountain together. So come on, church, rise up. Use your voice. Sing. Sing to Him this morning. Sing out, sing out, sing out. Let's praise.